Hi, and welcome to another episode of Celebrating Small Family Businesses. Today, we are celebrating alternative transportation systems in Arlington, Massachusetts, and we have with us Chris and Ed Farrell. Hi, Chris. Hi, Ed.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I had the pleasure of speaking to Chris a little bit before and learning a little bit about the company, and I'm excited to hear more and to share that your story with our listeners. So I recall that you said that this was a your website says it's a multi-generation family business. I think you said it started like in the 1930s. Ed, you don't look old enough to have been.
It started basically here in Arlington. There was different businesses, same piece of land. My grandfather started in the 40s, was in the heating oil business. And then as that business grew, we morphed into different businesses, kind of developed things for different family members to get into that they were interested in, that would keep everybody kind of separated, but still in the family business. We have the transportation business. We have a retail store that sells barbecue stuff. There's a lot of different things that our family has gotten into over the years. You know, different people run different things, different talents, let's say. And that's how we run.
Nice. Well, that's one of the things that, you know, we encourage family businesses to focus on is immediately finding their strengths, you know, and where their talents and their strengths lie, and then put the right people in the right seats, you know, get everybody working with their strengths. And right. That's where people seem to be the happiest. So it sounds like you guys did that just naturally from the beginning.
Yeah, right from the beginning. And we started the transportation business. It's the newest of the businesses. This is our 20th year. You blink and it's 20 years, that's it. That's a new business to us. It's grown quite a bit from its inception. We've been fortunate enough to, Chris has entered the business, is really enjoying it and taken to it very well. So it's with his help, we've made it grow.
Chris, I think I remember you said you came in and basically started at the bottom and worked your way up. Maybe starting in dispatching, was it?
That would have been nice, dispatching. No, I actually came into it right out of college. I began as a driver on the road. So, you know, interacting with our clients, visiting the various facilities, kind of identifying pain points. And I was a new grad and, you know, just kind of exploring options, being a criminal justice major. And you know, a lot of the folks that we transport, I saw an opportunity to provide that valuable and quality transport day to day from driving, and kind of leaned into it at that point. And throughout the years, went from driving to dispatching, scheduling, until my current position now as a general manager. And I think that, you know, having those interactions along the way makes both your leadership relatable and credible when, you know, working and leading your employees. They know that you've been out there and touched the things that they've touched and seen what they've seen. And I think that carries a lot of weight and provides, you know, value to the employees and continued value to the clients and the passengers.
Totally, totally. You just reminded me of something, you know, my father said many, many years ago was, you know, never ask somebody to do something you aren't willing to do yourself. So, you know, starting as a driver there with the contact, yeah, that gives you not only credibility, but a lot of information, a lot of experience that you can bring, you know, then to the later stages. You ever go out and drive a route once in a while now just to keep your hand in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On busy days, I'll, you know, head into Boston and do one of the shuttle routes and, you know, wear the driver uniform and kind of blend right in. And, you know, the people who work here are shocked to see me out there, but I think that's, you know, holds value. And to be able to keep your finger on the heartbeat of the business and hear the things that the passengers are hearing on the shuttle or the chair car is kind of invaluable information, and it carries a lot of value to the company to get that feedback directly from the passengers.
Yeah, sort of your own little version of undercover boss there. I like that.
It is.
How did the transportation business come out of the other businesses? Was it a natural outgrowth, or was it just, hey, we see an opportunity, we're going to try this?
Well, transportation originates always from the vehicles, correct? And we do have an automotive repair shop that we own that maintains the vehicles. And Chris and I are both vehicle people. We love cars, we love trucks, we're into vehicles. And if it moves, we have our finger on it. And there's a certain amount of vertical integration when you have the ability to repair, maintain, and take care of the vehicles that you use on a daily basis. I think that's a very, very important part of a transportation business. And we pay a lot of attention to it. And that has proven to work out very well for us.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I saw that on your website, and you know, one of my questions is like, what's your USP, or you know, what kind of sets you apart from? And I'm ignorant about the transportation industry, but I'm suspecting that right there that you were just talking about, owning your own, you know, starting actually with a car repair, and then but owning your own repair facility and doing all your own maintenance is probably not common in your industry. Is that accurate?
That's correct. And, you know, if you know the vehicles, that's can be your biggest, besides the labor costs, it could be your biggest expense. You can think of trying to take care of you and your wife's cars and keeping up on all the maintenance, and you probably drive maybe 15, 20,000 miles a year. Well, our vehicles, they travel 50 to 60,000 miles a year, each one, and there's over 100 of them now. To try to keep up on that maintenance, make sure you don't lose an engine or transmission, or you don't grind the brakes, and to keep it safe and keep it desirable for people to ride with you. It's still all about the ride. Transportation is still all about the ride.
I get that. We didn't talk about this, Chris, but part of my family business where I started was working at an egg farm. We had an egg farm. And so I was driving a delivery route for several years of that. And so, yeah, I had passengers that didn't talk, but boy, if I hit a bump too hard or took a turn too fast, I had a mess to clean up. And I remember a time, we didn't maintain our own vehicles. I remember a time I was out and the clutch went out on the it was a big step bin, like UPS drives. And clutch went out, and they were telling me, well, just drive it without the clutch. I didn't know how. So I sort of feel your pain there with the vehicle maintenance.
We'll have to get an egg test going, have a part of the driver evaluation, put an egg on the dashboard, make sure it doesn't roll off and hit the floor.
Find out if they're a good driver or not.
Yeah. There you go.
But it's very important to have a safe and quality vehicle. And, you know, the turnaround on the vehicle is expedited because of our own repair shop. And we know who's fixing it, right? It's Ed, it's our fleet of mechanics to make sure that everything is safe and sound. And it really goes back to, you know, the safety of the clients. And we like to say that cleanliness is safety's best friend. If somebody doesn't believe a vehicle is clean, it arrives, it's dirty, they're not gonna believe that it's safe to get into. It just kind of feeds into itself. So the maintenance of the vehicle, the cleanliness of the vehicle, and then obviously the quality of the person you're putting behind the wheel is very important to us. And that's what really separated us from the pack in the beginning when we got started about 20 years ago. And as you grow, you don't want to, you know, as Ed stated, we have over 100 vehicles and equal amount of drivers and office staff. You don't want to grow away from what made you special in the first place. So we found it helpful to deploy technology to enhance human interaction rather than replace it. I think a lot of companies say, oh, you know, we can use this item and that'll save us money here, or we can eliminate this position. That's never been Ed's goal or vision. He wants to employ people. He wants to employ quality folks and, you know, provide them with, you know, an above average living wage, and use those systems such as, you know, the driver passenger feedback portals we have on our tablet. When, you know, Jose or Jim, Santos or Steven go to pick up a client and is ringing the front doorbell, well, the passenger likes to be picked up around the side of their house by the blue dumpster. So we've already kind of expended some time figuring that out once. We can now have the driver push that information into the office. We can update that client's profile. So when the next driver goes, wasting time on site, and they're able to tailor that experience for that client and make sure that we can get them picked up in an expeditious manner, brought to their appointment on time, which is pivotal in transportation. It's really, you know, our promise to the client. And by utilizing those systems, like I said, we're able to enhance the experience and enhance the value to the client. So a bit of a little summary there as far as the major moving parts, although there are many.
I think you also have cameras inside the vehicles that record everything, I guess, so that if you need to review something, right, that's also available to you.
Tracking cameras. We know where the vehicles are at all times. We know what's going on in the vehicles. We know what's going on in the street. We have a full-time person, that a safety officer, that basically looks over, make sure everybody's operating and doing things that we taught them to do in training. Training is a key thing. We do a lot of training with people. We do it, you know, onboard training prior to the going out. You know, we just don't hire a person and put them on the street. Spend a lot of time and a lot of capital training them properly to do the job that they need to do. And continuous training on a yearly basis, sometimes more than just the once a year, it's several times. And if we find somebody not doing it right, we can retrain them. The goal is to foster or guide people and get them to move in the right direction, so they're all in step with what the mission is that we deliver.
Yeah, mission, that was something, a note I remember writing down from my conversation with Chris. Everyone understands the mission. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, Chris, or Ed, either one?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do the majority of the hiring here, and you know, you can come to me as a driver or potential office staff, and it's more than just the resume. Resumes are helpful; they're a starting point. But when I, you know, interview people and speak with them, we start there, but we move on to, you know, what are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are your hobbies? And you can glean a lot of information and substance about who that person really is. And we take that into a large consideration when onboarding people. And I give everybody all of the information, probably too much, when I onboard them and say, this is what we are. You know, we are a top quality, value-based transportation business. If it's in your mind that you're going to drive around and, you know, not pick up the phone or not get out of the van and not greet our passengers, help them to the vehicle, help them with their seatbelt, secure them safely in their wheelchair. If that's not something that you're willing to do, it's not something you're excited to do, please don't work here. That's fine. It's okay. We're not mad. You know, we have a 90-day probationary period because you may start to think you like it, and then about 3 months in, the varnish starts to wear off when you're stuck in traffic on 93. If you're not liking it, please don't work here. It's okay, right? Because we want to be able to hire and retain the best quality individuals, and you either have it or you don't, right? You're either a caring person who drives well, or, you know, maybe this isn't for you. So the people that kind of do make it through the onboarding process and do make it through their probationary period stay here for quite a long time. We have, you know, folks who have been here as drivers, handful, about 15 years, many more of them over 10 years. And people really care about the mission, what we're doing here. And what we're doing is essentially providing freedom through accessible transportation. Everybody has a right to move about freely, and we want to provide that bridge to people's care through chair car transportation to their appointments. We want to provide that bridge to going to the supermarket, to going up to New Hampshire for an afternoon to see the Leafs because, you know, they've been in a nursing home or something similar for, you know, several months, and we want to get them out and we want them to have fun.
And that brings us to the family aspect again, and on two sides. You know, you're transporting people who's oftentimes their family can't do for them what they want to, and so they're trusting you to do it. But so there's that family aspect, but you're also a family business and you guys are working together. What do you love most about working with family in the business, working together?
Well, for me, you know, life is short and we spend the majority of our lives working, and it's just so fantastic. And I'm so lucky to be able to spend so much time with my family, with Ed, with Cynthia, my mother. You know, my wife works as part of the business. So just so fortunate to be, you know, around family and, you know, in enjoying the work that we do. A lot of people see family business and they kind of think oil and water, right? But, you know, here it's kind of oil and gasoline and an engine driving forward. So, we work together very, very well. And the, you know, the strength of relationships is important, both in family and in business. And those things feed into one another. If you have strong family relationships, you know, if you have strong business relationships, you can learn from both sides of that coin.
And you can't do that's everything right. yourself in a business. To have someone that you can rely on that's going to be there, that has the same values, shares the same passions, it's very helpful. Hopefully has the same values, you've raised them. Working with a family member, there's different aspects of family businesses, and we've had, you know, we've worked together, Chris and I, very well in the transportation business, but I also have siblings that I work with that are siblings, so there's a different relationship there between siblings and family members that are direct blood to you. We've learned over the years where the boundaries lie and how to manage your time and manage the time spent in business and time spent at home very well. It's important to separate the two at some point, and we've learned how to do that.
Okay. Is there a particular challenge that you did overcome that you'd want to share that other family businesses might learn from?
Our biggest challenge was the pandemic. That was our biggest challenge in this business, you know, keeping it together. I think back to when we had the pandemic, and you can remember when you got the Lysol out and sprayed your vegetables. Well, we continued to work through the pandemic because the people we transport for dialysis and medical care, things like that, they can't, pandemic or no pandemic, they still have to go. And we were all scared and, you know, we didn't know what to do. And we have photos of, we got these machines, these foggers, and in between every trip, we would have to fog the vehicle with this special chemical that kills everything, you know, any viruses or whatever. And, well, that's a huge undertaking with so many vehicles on the road and whatever. And it was, Chris was doing it. I had my daughter Jessica doing it. That was, my son Edward was here helping. It was all hands on deck. It's kind of like, you know, with family businesses, a farm, let's say you sell pumpkins, you grow pumpkins. Well, everybody works when it's Halloween. And that's what we did during the pandemic to keep the fleet and the vehicles on the road, keep everybody getting to their medical appointments. And it was a big accomplishment, and I'm very proud of the way everybody pulled together and got that done.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, I had not thought about how the pandemic might have affected you guys. That had to be huge. Yeah, because you can't, well, fortunately you couldn't stop, right? You had to keep going, but you had to really adapt. You had to get, you know, get creative with what you did.
Well, you couldn't share vehicles with other people. So it would have single use, the single riders on the vehicles, whereas you couldn't, you know, put two people, you know, everybody had to be separated.
Wow.
So it made a lot of work, and everybody came together, and we got through it pretty well.
Everybody coming together, that's one of the hallmarks of family business, is that people rise to the occasion when they're needed. It's, you know, nobody's saying, well, that's not my job, right? Because it's like family, your family.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's everybody's job.
This is not a corporation where there's a job description that people, you know, oh, that's not my role here. Everybody has a role. Everybody is a driver first, and they do what they do second.
Okay.
Cool.
So, you know, we were talking about having the right people in the right seats and going with strength. So within the family, the people that are family that are working in the business, do you have a process for figuring out what roles people need to play? And is there also multiple role cross training, or, you know, how did you figure that part out?
It's simple. You start at the bottom, you work your way up. You got to learn every aspect of the business. If you're not worth having if you don't know every little piece of the business. You have to understand it all. It's unlike anything else. If you don't know, then when someone tells you a story, you don't know if it's the truth or not.
Okay. So cross-training is, you know, the process.
It is. And I think to expand upon that, as far as, you know, family members in the business and then, you know, recognizing individual strengths, there is really no expected succession plan, right? You're my son, you're my daughter, you're working here. I've been told a million times, you want to do something else, go do it, right? If this is your passion, then please continue on. We'd be happy to have you. So there is no, I guess, underlying animosity or expectation or, you know, guilt that I would have if this is not something that I wanted to do. Ed's been very open about that. Cynthia's been very open about that. Like our probationary period, we want you here because we want you to be here, essentially. And I think that holds a lot of value. And same thing with recognizing strengths, right? Ed's going to say, all right, Chris is good at, this thing. Let's give him the tools, give him the training, the education necessary in order to be the most successful version of that person within the business. And, I translate that, to the driving staff as well. We have some folks here that work in the office who were drivers, and we're not going to hold up a piece of paper and say, hey, where's your bachelor degree? Where's your this, that, or the other thing? If you're, the type of person who, is a star in a role, let's say a driver, it's our belief that you'll continue to be a star with the proper training and tools, no matter which position you're holding. So we've had a lot of folks that were drivers that now work in the customer service or the safety department because, they've already seen the human interaction side of things. Now, if they can go on the other side of the quality control and the safety aspects, then they can share that knowledge with, the rest of the driving cohort and the driving team. So I think those are, two very important distinctions to make. Again, first that it was, never expected or this is what you'll do now. Your dad was a farmer, so you're a farmer type situation. It was kind of an open invitation. And if you want to do this, then we're going to expect everything from you. As we would any other employee, plus just a little bit more on top. So,
oh man, that is huge. The open invitation. I love that phraseology for that. That it's not that expectation, because I think that's. In fact, I've got a great little book called "Trapped in the Family Business," and this gentleman has explored all these different ways that people feel in some way trapped or guilted into and things like that. And I can speak to that, but I won't. and so, having that open invitation, but also, and then married with that, what you said is, you earn your place, right? You have to qualify for the job just like anybody else that we're going to hire. That's so powerful, not only for the younger generation in the family business that now, because of that, knows that they have earned their place. It wasn't given to them, and they don't have any doubt about that. And second of all, the hired employees, that the non-family employees that you're working alongside, also know that you had to go through the same rigorous process that they did. And there's more respect there, and there's more, just equality, I guess.
You named it. It's the respect. You earn respect. You don't get it. It's not given. And you have to be witnessed in a lot of cases, your actions, what you do, and that's how it works the best. It's not always that way, but that's how it works the best.
Why don't you go with this one?
I think it would be a detriment overall for me in my current role, leading the operation side of things, if this is where I started. I think it would be, the light shines through, right? When you're speaking not from experience and interacting with my office staff or my drivers, it'd be a huge detriment to me professionally. It'd be a detriment to the business having not had that, that background. So
smart.
Go ahead.
Is there anything about being in a family business that you know now that you wish you knew back 20 years ago when you started?
Everything.
We own a business, a small business. Sometimes you try to compare your life to other people. You look around and your wife or whoever, they'll say, well, look at these people, look at those people. You have to put that completely out of your mind. Don't try to compare yourselves to others. You have to absorb it and not be aggravated by it. In other words, you have to thrive or embrace it. There'll be times when You're asked to do things that a normal person wouldn't do in any other business. And you can let that aggravate you, or you can say, well, let's embrace this. This is just part of, you know, what it is. I've decided to do this and I need to embrace it. You embrace the good things and you embrace the bad things. It just, you can't let it get under your skin. It's part of who you are.
Wow.
A lot of wisdom there.
The maturity is just, your business maturity is outstanding. And not just the length of it, but your depth of it. It's pretty awe-inspiring. Thank you.
Clear to see why you've succeeded the way you have.
So what's the most...
A similar experience throughout being a new grad as a driver and working my way into the office. And to kind of put it into a phrase, as Ed stated, other success is a mirror for you. And a lot of people look at other people's success and see what they themselves have or haven't done. And that can be discouraging or it can be motivating. And the way that you handle that image or that feedback is very important. And, you know, as a young professional in my 20s, you're looking at friends who, you know, work in corporate America or work in finance and things like that. And you say to yourself, well, I work 9 to 5. I work, you know, 8 to 4, whatever it might be. And that's not true. You work all the time when you're really starting out. I started 10 years ago, so halfway through the company's lifespan essentially, and it was a very busy time. We were starting a lot of new work, and I was, you know, kind of confronted with a choice to make. Do I, you know, work 9 to 5 and try to shut my phone off, or do I lean into it? And, you know, as Ed said, it's gonna be there when you get back and you turn your phone back on. It's just gonna be a little bit worse. So, you know, lean into it, embrace the challenges, and you'll learn a lot about business, you'll learn a lot about yourself. And you know, we've gotten to a point now where we have a lot of good folks in the office to help us with those things. And
it's not as bad. It's not like it was. It's not like it was anymore. But I remark, and people say, you know, you'll talk to others and they'll say, well, I work 12-hour days. I'll just look at them and say, oh, half a day.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
So, because that's what entrepreneurs do. We work 24/7. Right?
Yeah. It's not as well.
Our phone's never off.
You only worked half the day.
I love that.
Exactly.
That's an awesome perspective right there. Yes.
So what's the most valuable thing you've learned from your employees or from a single employee?
One thing that resonates with me is, you know, we were talking to the driving staff. One of the statements that the driver has made, it's very simple, but he just said, when you do everything with love, it's simple. That's it. And that's what really stuck with me and stood out. He's been a driver here for 8 years. And, you know, we're asking him, what do you like about working here? You know, it's tough in the wintertime in New England, and you're in snow, and you're digging your van out, and you still can't be late because it snowed, because we're transportation professionals, and we have a promise to our people. And he said, Chris, you know, hey, when you do everything with love, it's simple. And that really stuck with me.
So that's powerful. Is that, did he, how do I ask this? Did he develop that, did that come from him personally, or is that part of your culture?
Well, I like to think it's a little bit of both. You know, like I said, you know, everybody understands the mission. People who are here, they want to be here. They want to make sure that somebody's mom, dad, grandmother is getting the best care possible, the best transportation, safest transportation possible. And I think that they feel that way because they themselves are people of value. So they're providing value to the people that they pick up. And, you know, like I said, when we hire, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for quality people to put behind the wheel of quality vehicles to do the best job that we can. And so I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both, and it's kind of lent itself to the culture here. And we're very fortunate to have that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the people that you have working for you as a whole that really makes the company as well. So does it come from the company, or does it come from the person?
It's kind of like a circle, isn't it? The people are the culture, and the culture defines the people.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
That is so cool. What a lovely lesson.
So as far as other family businesses, do you guys network? And I think I know part of the answer to this because of our conversation, but do you network with other family businesses?
It's funny you asked that. We have a breakfast club in my office where there's many people that I've met throughout my career. Will come, they'll sit down, they'll talk about their struggles, my struggles, you know, kind of venting, let's say, at some point. But it's a breakfast club, and there'll be people that'll come and to my place, and we talk. They could be masons, they could be builders, they could be in many different businesses, flower business. These people come, they, hey, how you doing? Sit down, just start talking. We can vent back and forth a bit. But I think we learn from each other a bit as well. And if I can give some advice, let's say for an insurance issue or a banking issue or things that I've picked up along the way or a tax issue, you know, I'll share with them, they'll share with me. And yeah, you do learn from talking to other people that are in small business.
Very cool. Very cool. And sometimes when we're talking to someone in our own, or when we're hearing an example that's in our own vertical, we personalize it so much we miss the point. And so hearing somebody from another, a different kind of industry and completely talk about a similar problem, it frames it in a way that we can see it clearer too. I love that. The exactly. Breakfast Club.
Yep.
So you guys are in the all of New England. You're based just outside Boston, but you cover all of New England. How do people, like if somebody's up in New Hampshire and they need, I'm ignorant here of distances, sorry. Vermont, New Hampshire, I'd think of those as farther north than Boston, but I may be wrong. But somebody distant, you know, several hundred miles from your main office, what do they do?
So the majority of the work that we do, we're contracted with facilities, with hospitals, things of that nature. So a lot of their rides are set up through the facilities that they're visiting, and that they will contact, they being the facilities, will contact us to set up transportation for them. We also have, you know, contact us or book with us portals on our website. They can call us 6 days a week, you know, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 781-316-0400. Our website is www.ridewithats.com. So there's a lot of useful information there. And, you know, we get a lot of general inquiries, whether it's, as I stated before, a medical appointment or, you know, a private pay fun run where they just want to get mom and dad, you know, out for the day. And we have, you know, LinkedIn and Facebook. So we try to cover all of our bases as far as providing updates to the employees through multiple avenues and also, you know, to our clients. And as far as, you know, the scope of our work, we go everywhere. There's really nowhere in New England that we don't go. Some things in my mind stick out where, you know, on one day, I believe it was 3 weeks ago, we were in New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and we're discharging somebody to New Jersey. So we go far. If there's a need, if there's somebody who needs to make it either home or to their appointment, we will take you. We have, as I stated, a great dedicated driving staff. I remember a story where we had a passenger who was an hour and a half north of Montreal, Canada, but was still somehow in Maine. And they had a 4 o'clock pickup in the morning. So our driver left their home 10 o'clock the previous day, 10 o'clock PM, drove through the night, hit a snow squall, went about 50 feet off the highway, called himself a tow truck, got winched out, continued up north, picked the gentleman up, drove him down to Boston, called in, said, hey, Chris, I need a front end alignment and about a mirror replaced on the van. We fixed it for him and we went home. So when I say everyone understands the mission, that is truly the definition of the mission.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Kind of sounds like a Florida driver need not apply, but maybe that's just me. Oh, goodness.
And we don't do good in snuff.
That is a wonderful example. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Yeah.
This has been absolutely wonderful. We're excited to promote and give you a little bit of extra exposure. I think you got some really wonderful. I want to congratulate you again, both on the TD Bank takeover and the, you know, the publicity from that, and the well-deserved recognition. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That video on your website is
fabulous.
Really wonderful.
Yeah. Everybody wishes they had that.
They did a good job, and the folks that I had asked, you know, for the driving staff to be in it, and again, kind of open invitation, they took to it, and during the shoot, the gentleman in the beginning of the video making his coffee, you know, he had asked the film crew, what do you hope to capture? And they were outside in his driveway. He said, well, we want to kind of get a day in the life of a driver. He said, well, it's going to be really hard to do that from outside of my house. Why don't you guys come in? I'm about to have a coffee. So,
wow.
You know, just kind of the personal aspect. He understood, again, the mission, what we were trying to accomplish. And just good guy overall. And fortunate to have him as well as all the employees here. So it was a good video. They did a great job. Production quality was fantastic.
It was overwhelming, actually, the whole experience.
Yeah, I bet.
And what we really hope to accomplish from that is, yes, it's great for alternative transportation, but we want to call to attention the industry and the fact that non-emergency medical transportation is out there, and tying it back to the family aspect, it is a growing issue and challenge where mom or dad are aging, they have a medical appointment, and, you know, siblings are saying, who's going to take mom? Who's going to take dad? Don't worry about it. Just call alternative transportation. Let our family take care of yours. We'll make sure they get there. You can go to work. I promise you, they're going to have the best drivers, best vehicles, and we'll take care of them like they're our own, because I think Uncle Sam uses us sometimes.
Having been there, I get it and I agree. And there were times when later on my mother was in assisted living, and it got to where it wasn't safe for us to try to get her in and out of a vehicle because she was unsteady. We needed somebody that was trained and had the right equipment.
Yeah.
So, my hat's off to you guys for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well,
we appreciate.
You know, and I kind of figured that looking forward, this is a forward-thinking project. So if this business gets good enough, you know, if I need it, I'll be all set.
That's right.
Maybe they'll give you your own driver.
And a family discount.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you so much again.